You're already won. You've already won. He's won the battle. One song we sing sometimes says, Jesus fought the battle through and gives to us the victory. So we have the victory if we just stand for it. We thank the Lord for the privilege and opportunity to serve Him. And we desire that you pray for us. Let us turn to Jeremiah, the 18th chapter. Very familiar text of Scripture, no doubt, for many of us. We want to talk about the potter and the clay. The potter and the clay. Let's go to the 18th chapter of Jeremiah, starting at the first verse. You'll read for me. I'd appreciate it. Jeremiah 18, verse 1. Pardon me? The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord. So the Lord is talking to Jeremiah, the prophet.
Arise.
And he tells him to go, arise.
And go down to the potter's
I want you to go down to the potter's house.
There
I will cause thee to hear my word. I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to say until you get down there.
I went down to the potter's house.
And behold, he wrought a work on the wheel. So Jeremiah is just following the leading of the Lord. The Lord says, I want you to go down to the potter's house. And once you get down there, I'm going to tell you what I want you to know. I'm not going to tell you before. I want you to look at the lesson that I'm going to give you. And I want you as a prophet to go back and give it to the people. All right?
And the vessel that he made.
He said, okay, the potter was, he went down, the potter was working on a vessel. All right? And the vessel that he made of clay
was marred
in the hand of the potter.
So he made it again.
Another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make it. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord. Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. So the Lord is telling the Israelites, I want to do with you like the potter is doing with the clay. This man is making a vessel, something that he wants, something that is in his mind that he wants this clay to become. It's not just he got on the wheel and said, I don't think I know what I want to do today, so I'm just going to play around with this. It was that he was making a specific vessel. He was making it for a specific purpose. He was doing it a specific way, and when it came to, I don't know what happened to it. I don't know if it had lumps in it or if there was something that happened to the clay. I don't know what it was, but it marred. It was not exactly like that potter wanted it to be, so the potter just took it, so to speak, and boiled it back up and wet it a little bit, and he put it back on the wheel and he began to work on it again. He said, I'm going to make this what I want it to be. It's in my mind what I want this piece of lump of clay to be. I want it to be useful to me. And so in the same way, he says to Jeremiah, he says, I want you to tell Israel, after you see this, you see that it's marred, you see it hasn't turned out the way that I wanted it to be, and now I'm going to make it again. I want you to go back, and I want you to tell the Israelites, I want you, him, he, in essence what he's saying, he wants the prophets to tell us that there are times that the Lord makes a vessel. He's making a vessel out of you. He's making a vessel out of me. There is some use, a vessel. What is a vessel? It is something that you put something in. All right? And it has a purpose. And there are some vessels that are beneficial for one thing, and there are some that are beneficial for another. So he's saying to them, I want you to understand that I am making something out of you. Do you realize that the Lord is making something out of your life? Now, we may not understand it, we may not know, we may not even appreciate what the Lord is doing with our lives. And I believe all of us have been in situations in our lives that we felt like, I don't know, what am I doing with my life? Have you ever thought that before? Well, what's the benefit of my life? And there is in your mind a certain way that you want your life to go. You wanted to form your life a certain way. There's a certain direction that you wanted. And by the time you got whatever age it is, you thought you'd be here or there, and you may not have been there. And you're a little disappointed in the way things have turned out. And now you don't know what to do. I want to encourage you. Sometimes the Lord allows these things to happen to us so that He can get our attention. What He wants us to understand is that it's not about what you want to do with your life. It's about what God wants to do with your life. And if you will allow the Lord to utilize your life and make the vessel that He wants to make out of your life, you'll be a happy person. I'm not going to say that you won't go through trials. You will. I'm not going to say it won't be difficulties. It won't be things that you have to deal with. You're going to have to deal with some things that you don't want to deal with. But I want you to understand that all the circumstances of life is that the Lord's hand is on your life. And the Lord is trying to mold you into something that He wants you to be, something that will be beneficial for His kingdom. All right? So He says here, "Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel, that something that he was going to put, that pot of clay that he was going to put something in, it didn't turn out to be like he wanted to be." And you know, probably, with all of our lives, you know what I believe the Lord wants? I believe the Lord wants us to get saved from the moment He talks to us and for us to live for Him the rest of our lives. Now, few, if any, ever do it. So the Lord has put us in certain circumstances. It is not just a mistake that He put you in the family that He put you in. "Well, I was in an abusive situation, and all the things that happened to me, they shouldn't have happened. And I look at my friends, and I look at my neighbors. It didn't happen to me." The Lord knew what was going to happen to you, and He could utilize. And folks don't understand that. They don't understand, "Lord, why? Why am I in this kind of a situation?" The Lord is with you every step of the way. If you look for Him, you can find Him in every situation of life. All right? So the Lord knew the circumstances of your life. He knew what was going to happen. And the care that this potter took in forming you to be the vessel that He wanted you to be. Do you know why the Lord allows some folks to go through situations that are not ideal? Number one, He's dealing with them in a certain way, and He's grooming them, and He's molding them and forming them in a certain way. The devil is doing it too. I want you to understand that. But the Lord is taking these things and allowing them to happen in your life so that at some point in the future, when you give your heart to Him, you can help somebody else through them. There are some things that you can help people with that I can't help them with. Because there are some things you've gone through and you understand in a way that I don't understand. There are some things that another woman can help. Women can help women in a certain way that a man can't do it. And a man can speak to another man. I got a phone call the other day from a man, he's not so young anymore, his wife, and said, I want you to talk to this man because there are some things about him that needs to change, and I want you to visit with him about that. And so I prayed about it, and I asked the Lord, and I called him. And we made contact. And the things that I was able to share with him were some of the things that I'd gone through myself. Some of the things that I had seen how the Lord worked with me, and I understand how another man feels about that. So the Lord allows a man to minister to another man in a way that a woman couldn't have done. So this vessel that the Lord made, and whatever it is that He made, all the things, all of my history, my long history, your long history, is the Lord working on the wheel, and almost every one of us, if not every one of us, marred in His hands. What God was trying to make of me when I was a teenager, I had my own ambitions. You had your own ambitions. You decided, you know, I want to form my life in a certain way. I want to go in a certain direction. And I happened to be telling this young man this. I said, you know, I remember when I was in college, I remember the Lord dealing with me and talking to me and telling me, don't go this route that you're deciding to go. I was extremely ambitious, and I had this desire to do all these grand things, and the Lord spoke to me and said, that's not what I'm forming you to be. And I had to make a decision as to whether or not I wanted to go in the Lord's direction. And I have no regrets. Only regret that I hear people say this, and it's true. The only regret is I didn't get serious enough soon enough. Sooner. All right. Let's go a little further. Isaiah 43, verse 1. Isaiah 43, verse 1. Behold. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob. He deformed thee, O Israel. Fear not. For I have redeemed thee. Now I want to stop there for just a moment. He says, but now Thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Now, I want us to think about what this, we're talking about the potter and the clay. Before that potter put the clay on the wheel and began to form it, he created it in his mind. There was a creation of the vessel that he wanted to make before he even started making it. And so he did not, as I said, he did not just put this glob of clay on the wheel and said, let's just see and me play with it. It wasn't that. It was that he knew what vessel he wanted to make before he ever formed it. So I want us to understand that there is a creation, a mental creation, and you can say this to any artist, any person that creates anything. In essence, you think about what you're about to create before you ever create it. So he says here, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. This is a care that the Lord has for us. So in essence, what I want us to understand here is that the Lord had this creation in his mind, and then he formed it with his hands. I think that's wonderful. If you look at the creation, you go back to Genesis, and what you find out is that the Lord spoke, let there be light, let there be the division of the firmaments and whatnot. But then when he got down to mankind, what did he do? This creation, he didn't just speak it into existence. This creation he formed, he took some clay, if you will, literal dirt. And he got the right kind of chemical consistency or whatever you want to call it. And I don't know how he did it. It's a miracle and a marvel. This body with the veins and the blood and the skin and the bone and all of this, God took time to form it. He was concerned about mankind. And then he took this human form, the most wonderful life form, and he put his mouth to its smell and he breathed into it the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That's something very special. That means that he was concerned about the formation of it. He was concerned about the creation of it. And he was saying, I want to put my life into this vessel. This is a vessel as he's creating this man, this Adam, from his hands. And he's going through the whole, what did he say? He said, if you go to Genesis, what did it say? Let us make man in our image, in our likeness. Now, I don't know altogether what that means. I'm not going to try to stand up here and try to tell you I know exactly what he was talking about. I don't know how he looks altogether. But I know that there was a creation in his mind because he said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness before he ever made man. Then he picked the dirt up, and then he made man, and he saw this lifeless, if you will, creation of his, and he said, this is the vessel that I want to carry my life, the life of Christ, in me, in them. So what do we find? In essence, the vessel of the potter that God wanted to make, he wanted to make a vessel that would carry his life. Amen. From the very beginning, Lord God wanted us to be like him. He wanted us to be like Christ. Let us make man in our image. And so he made a vessel that could hold the Spirit of the Lord. That could literally be possessed with the Spirit of God. And when he saw this vessel out of clay that he formed, he breathed into it. He put his mouth to its mouth, his nostrils to his nostrils, and he breathed. And brought life. Isn't that wonderful? So with the care that the Lord has given, the Bible shows, and that at the very beginning, there's care that he gives to you and I right now. No matter what you're going through, no matter how difficult it is, God is concerned about everything that you're concerned about. And he's more concerned about it than you are. He knows what he's doing. All right, so let's continue here in Isaiah 43. When thou passest through the waters, second verse. When I pass through the water, he said, I'll be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord, thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee, since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, I am with you. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the end of the earth, even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. The Lord is saying this. He did it for his glory. Now, I want us to understand some things. He did not say, listen, I'm going to make a way around the floods and around the rivers. No, he didn't say that. He says, when thou goest through the river, they shall not overflow thee. He did not say that I'm going to make a way around it. He said, I'm going to make a way through it. You're going to go through some difficult times. You're going to go through some hard times. It's going to be hard. Life is hard. There is no one here on this earth that can't say they have not been through some hard times. You are going to go through some hard times. But let me tell you, the one beneficial and the one beautiful thing that we can say is that the Lord said he wouldn't leave us and he wouldn't forsake us. He said, I'll go with you through it. I'll go with you through the waters. I'll go with you through the troubles. I'll go when you go through the fire. He didn't say, I'm not going to allow you to go through the fire. He said, when you go through the fire, the flame shall not kindle upon you. You're not going to get burned. You're not going to have a problem. There's not going to be damage to your life, even though you go through these things. Well, Brother Darrell, you don't know some of the things that I've been through. I know that if you put your hand in God's hand, God will take you through it. Let me tell you what I've learned in my own life. Yes, I've been through some hard things. Yes, I've been through some things that I wish I didn't have to go through. And if I had it to do all over again, maybe I wouldn't go through them. But when I got out on the other side, I saw that the Lord had done something for me. I was a different man. I was changed. Things were better. I wouldn't necessarily want to go through the trials, but I thank God for them. I thank God for what he's taken us through. And saints, I want you to know, everyone here, I want you to know that God, no matter what you're going through, the waters, the rivers, the places that seem like they're just going to overwhelm you, God is going to be there with you. Put your hand in his hand. He'll take you through it. When you go through the fire and it seems like everything around you is just burning down, God said, I will not leave you. I won't leave you. We all know the story about the Hebrew boys, don't we? They go into the furnace, and there was three of them that went in there. Who was in the furnace? How many of them did the king see? He saw four of them, and he said, the fourth looked like the form of the Son of God. God was in that furnace with them. He'll be in it with you. He did not say that he wouldn't allow. What if they had not gone? Well, they had shirked back and said, you know what? I'm not going in that furnace. I'll just bow down. I won't bow down in my heart, but I'll just bow down my head. No, we have to stand firm for what the Lord is doing. The Lord was making a vessel out of them, just like he wants to make a vessel out of you and I. All right? Jeremiah 1, verse 5.
Before I formed thee in the belly.
All right. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest out of the womb, I sanctified thee, ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Yes.
Then said I,
Ah, Lord God,
behold,
I cannot speak,
for I am a child.
The Lord said unto me,
say not,
I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. Whatsoever I command, thou shalt speak. So he's speaking to Jeremiah, and he said, Jeremiah, I knew what you were going to be before you were born. Now you know what the Lord, if we take that and we apply it to our own life, the Lord knows what he wants us to be before we were born. Before he put us in the environment that he put us in, our family, our situations of life, He knew what he wanted us to be. And he equipped us. And we don't know. And sometimes we don't understand. The request came in for people that are in foster care, people, the young children that are in, that are adopted situations. And I'm not going to try to give you a clear explanation of all of that. But I can say that these children are going through some things, and we need to pray for them.
Amen.
We need to pray that the Lord would have mercy on them, because it seems like life is not fair for them. Even some of the folks, some of us, some of you that are sitting here, some of the things that you're going through, the Lord is allowing you to go through. I don't have an explanation for it, but I do know this. The Lord will go with you through it. The Lord will go with those children through it. You know, I know a lot of things too. That the Lord shields people from things that we don't realize that He's shielding them from. But He says here that before you were born, before you were even in the womb, I knew what I wanted you to be. And I believe what the Lord is saying to us is, He said, before you even formed you, I knew exactly how I wanted to use you. And so in some ways, the Lord can use those individuals in ways, as I said earlier, that you can't be used and I can't be used because of what they've gone through. But what we have to do is allow the Lord to take us through these places that He takes us through. And we have to believe that, God, I believe that You're going to take me through, and I believe it's going to be all right when it's all said and done. All right? Let's go to Romans 9 and 19. Yes.
Then unto me.
I will say it then unto me.
Why doth he yet find fault?
Why doth he yet find fault?
For who hath resisted his will?
Who has resisted his will?
Nay, but O man, who art thou?
Who art thou?
That replieth against God.
That replieth against God.
Shall the thing form?
Say to him that formed it.
Why hast thou made me thus?
Hath not the potter power over the clay?
Of the same lump?
To make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor?
What if God,
willing to show His wrath and to make His power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that He might make known the riches of His glory of the vessels of mercy which He had afore prepared unto glory, even us, whom He hath called, not of the Jews only, but of the Gentiles. And he said, okay, that's good enough. So he says here, we've been in places in our experiences that we feel like, you know, Lord, why did you make me like this? Have you ever thought about that? Why do I have this personality? Why do I have these glaring faults or issues or whatever it may be that you have? And you say, Lord, why? You know, I'd like to say this. To some degree, the Lord didn't make us just like we are. You understand what I'm saying? We have something to do with it.
Yeah.
The decisions that we made in our lives have affected us to where we are now. I've got a friend, one of my best friends. He is a twin. He is a twin, and his brother he had to move out of the state of Oklahoma because his brother that has the same initials as he does, same birthday, is completely opposite of him. This is a man that's on drugs, is a man that's never held down a job, is a man that has had just numerous problems with the law. This is that kind of a man. And then this man over here, come out of the same womb, in essence, the same time, raised together, the exact same mother, same circumstances. One went in one direction, and this man is working on his PhD, successful in his business career and whatnot, living for the Lord to the level of his understanding, all of those things, and it's coming from a person that came out of the same womb as someone else at the same time. Names almost exactly the same. So what he had to do? He said, you know what? I had to carry around my birth certificate and my driver's license and everything in my glove compartment so that if I got stopped by the cops, I would be able to show them that I'm not him. I'm not my brother. Because he didn't want to get hauled off to jail. So he did. Went, and then he said, listen, it came to the point that I had to let him, you stay in that state and I'm going to go to a whole nother state so that I won't have any connection with you, so that I won't get in trouble by what you're doing. What am I saying about that? I'm saying that here are two people with the exact same circumstances, under the same, brought up under the same circumstances, but living two completely different lives. And why is that? Did one have a better advantage than the other? Was one brought up in a better environment than the other? No, one made good choices and another one didn't. So as a result of the choices that you make, You might, a lot of us make excuses about the choice. Well, I couldn't help it. Yes, you can. Some of the choices are hard choices, but you're going to have to make the right choices to do what is right, and you can do it by the help and the grace of God. What we do, we live in a society now that feels entitled. We feel like we should always be happy. Who told us that? That there's going to be no, if I'm not happy in my relationship, then I'm getting out of it. Well, why not fight for it? Maybe that's what the Lord wants you to do. Maybe the Lord wants you to fight for this because it's right. And then you get in another one and you're not happy there either. So you just keep hopping. I talked to a lady that she said she had a relapse. Of course, they're around the gas station and they're asking you for money, right? I need $2. Oh, and she was honest with me. Said, you know what? I've been in a drug rehab program and I relapse. And I want to go back to the drug process. I said, well, I'm not going to give you $2. I don't know what you're going to do with that. I'll tell you what I will do. I'll put some money. I'll put some gas in your car. And while you're putting the gas in the car, you talk to them about the Lord and what the Lord can do. And you can talk to them about the decisions that they made in life. Maybe it was harder for them to make the right decisions than it was for me to make the right decision. But I believe that there is a little space in everybody's life. I don't care what kind of circumstance you're under. I believe that the Lord comes and I believe He pushes back everything. And I believe that He gives every one of us the opportunity right there at that opening, He gives us the opportunity to make the right decisions. And if we make the right decisions at that moment, then our life begins to change at that moment. I can take you, I've seen some people, of course being a pastor, I've seen some people go back on the Lord. And you know what, I can almost take them back to the time. I remember some of them talking to me. And I remember as I'm trying to visit with them about it and tell them what direction to go in with the Lord, I can see in their mind that there is a decision that they've already made. And they're making it right here. They're making this decision right here. Maybe their eyes start blinking and they're thinking about it and they're making a decision. But then they go right back to what they were wanting to do to begin with. But they listen to the enemy rather than listening to the Lord. And as a result, they mar in the Lord's hands. Do you know, every person that the Lord uses in any kind of a way, they go through some hard places. We talked this morning about the older folks that we know that are good, solid saints that have lived for the Lord down to the age. You know those folks went through some hard times? Let me tell you something about a potter. One of the things, there is a firing process that the pot has to go through the kiln. It has to go through a fire. And one of the processes that happens in this is the first stage that you do when you get a pot and you make it, you set it up and you let it dry, right? You just let it dry in the natural air. And it's a pretty solid piece of pottery, but it's fragile, very fragile. If you took that piece of pottery and that clay and you put it back in water, what would happen? It would go back. It would melt. It would melt, go right back to the state that it was originally in. So what has to happen to change that? Fire. It literally has to go through fire in order to change. Now you take a piece of pottery that you has gone through the fire. It didn't destroy it, did it? What did it do? It made it stronger. The fire, the trials, the problems that the Lord allows you to go through, they're not to destroy you. You've got to remember you are a piece of clay. The Lord has formed you into the vessel that He wants you to be, and so He puts you in the fire. Now, what happens is you go through the fire, and as you go through the fire, you become stronger. You become prepared. Now, you can set this piece, once it's done, once it's matured and gone through the fire like it's supposed to, you can put it in water and leave it in water, and it's not going to have an effect on it. You know what happens? What it does, there are a couple things. I did a little research on it. There's a few things that happen. One of the things that happen in taking it through the fire is you can't set it in a hot oven. What will happen? What will happen? It'll break. It'll explode. So what happens? You put it in the oven. You put it in where the fire is going to be. You close it. And you control the fire. So somebody is there that knows what temperature it needs to get hot slowly. And as it gets hot slowly, what happens actually in that pot, what makes it fragile is that there's still water in it. Even though it's dry, there's still water in it. And then as it goes through this firing process, this water evaporates, and what happens, there is a molecular change that takes place in the clay. So there are so many parts dirt and other stuff, and then there's so many parts water that makes the clay, right? And so what happens there is literally it changes the molecules in this clay so that it can get extreme temperatures, so that what happens, it gets lighter and it gets stronger as it goes through the fire. And that control fire, it goes up, and then they have to control it coming down as well. Because if you take it down, cool it down too fast, it'll crack as well. All right? You heat it up too fast, it'll explode. You bring it down too fast, it'll crack and explode. So there is this process that the potter understands has to take place in order for that vessel to become what that potter intends for it to be. Now, how do we deal with that from a practical standpoint as saints of God, as people of God? The Lord knows what trials you need. He knows, have you ever noticed that most of the time it doesn't just hit us? We see it coming. A lot of the things, we see it coming, and the Lord puts us in the furnace, and we are there for however long we need to be there for the change to become complete. For there to be this maturing and for us to get stronger and to become the vessel that God wants us to be. So He puts us in the oven, He closes the door, and then He begins to heat it up. And then it gets a little hotter and a little hotter. We begin to sweat. But we say, Lord, if You'll keep me here and make me what You want me to be, Lord, I'll do it. I'll stay here. I'll be what You want me to be. And then as we realize a little the insecurities, and there are things that are burning off of us, that the Lord realizes that says, that's not going to be good. If I put you in this kind of a situation and I want to use you here, you're going to crack right there. So I need to make certain that you get this, there's this molecular change that takes place in you. How many times have you gone through trials and you come out a different person? So the Lord takes us up. He burns and we stay in the fire for as long as He sees fit. And you know, they're talking about 600 to over 1,000 degrees. That's hot. So the trials that you go through, when He takes you to the fire, what does He say? When you go through the fire, what does He say? I'm going to be with you. It's not going to harm you. Don't be afraid. What do we say? In the heated furnace, Father, let me stay. Precious gold refining, purge the dross away. To thy glorious image is reflected there, to the costly jewels of thy grace I wear. The Lord, at the very beginning of time, at the creation, when He created Adam and blew into his nostril, He formed him, created him in His mind, and formed that creation with His hand, and blew into his nostrils the breath of life. What He was wanting, what Adam had in him, was the life of God. It was the life of Christ. It was what God wants from every man, woman, and child. What did it take to get us there? Sometimes what it takes to get us there is Him allowing all these problems and these trials and these issues that come up and press us so sore, and we're up against the corner, and now the Lord is saying, here I am. Here I am. What are you going to do with me? Are you going to accept me? Because this is what I'm trying to do. I want to make you the vessel that can actually be fit for the Master's use. I want to make you the vessel that I can pick you up and tenderly caress you and hold you and blow into your mouth and blow into your nostrils the breath of life, and now you become like me. He says, your image, the image that people see when you're going through trials and tests, is not the image of Daryl. It's not the image of whatever your name is. It's the image of Christ in you. That's the vessel. That's what He's making out of us. It doesn't really matter. Anything else doesn't really matter. The vessel of clay that God wants to make out of you is a vessel that He can use, that He can pour Himself into, and He can utilize for the world to see. Now, He may have different jobs for different people, different ones of us. He may have different jobs for us to do. But ultimately, the vessel is a vessel unto honor. The Lord wants to use you for His glory. That's what He formed us to do. All right? So, we pray, don't we? We pray about certain things. And as we're praying, Lord, I have you ever prayed about wanting to get out of a trial? I have. Lord, I want to be out of this trial. It just seems like it's too hard. It's too heavy. But the Lord says, I've put you through the trial. Now I have to cool it down. I'm not going to just take you out completely. Because if I take you out of the middle of the trial at the very top of it, where it's hottest, then you're going to crack. You're not going to be the vessel that I want to be, so I'm going to cool it down for a moment, and it's going to take some time for it to cool down and back down to room temperature. So the Lord knows what He's doing. You can trust Him. I can trust Him. I can trust Him through the firing process. All right? 2 Timothy 2, verse 20. In a great house,
they are not only vessels of gold and silver,
not vessels of gold and silver only,
but also
of wood, earth,
some to honor, some to
dishonor.
If a man therefore purge himself from these,
he shall be a vessel unto honor,
sanctified
and meet for the Master's use,
and prepared
for every good work. Now what is it saying? It's talking about a house, that there are vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. Now, you know what? We can make ourselves a vessel of dishonor by disobeying the Lord. So the Lord is going to use us generally in any way. He used Pharaoh, didn't He? He used Pharaoh as a vessel, but it wasn't until Pharaoh had just turned away from what God was trying to do with him. I believe if Pharaoh had humbled his heart and asked God to forgive him, then the Lord would have done that. But I believe what this is telling us here, that we can choose to be a vessel of honor, or we can choose to be the vessel of dishonor. So he says here, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the Master's use. So in other words, I've risen to the occasion. I've done what I need to do, and now I am meet for the Master's use. In other words, I am ready. I am prepared. Do you know the Lord doesn't use a person that is not prepared? He doesn't use them. If you're not prepared, He's not going to use you. So the Lord wants to use us and prepare us for His work. All right? Let us go to Isaiah 64, verse 8.
But now, O Lord,
you are our Father.
We are the clay.
You are our potter.
And we all are the work of thy hand.
So I want to encourage us. Whatever it is that you're going through, the Lord take you through it. And understand that you're the clay. You're not the potter. You don't really have the right to form your life the way you want it. Now, why do I say that? Well, Brother Darrell, I do have a right. It's my life. I can do what I want to do, but I believe every person here wants to go to heaven, right? And what does the Scripture say that we said? He said that He formed us for His glory. Not for our glory, but for His glory. He formed us for His glory. So the Lord wants to use and utilize us in the way that He has chosen. And so our responsibility is to allow Him to do it. And as He's forming us, if we mar in His hand, let Him make us again. Let Him make us again, and not only let Him make us again, but let Him take us through the fire. Let Him take us through the difficult places in our experiences, through the fire, so that we can get stronger and be more of what God would have us to be. Pray for me.